right. And it just keeps going.
It's the sound of the second chakra.
That is the sound, ladies and gentlemen, of the second chakra. Welcome to the Create Podcast. If it is your first time with us, keep listening. It's only going to get better.
If you'd like to throw in a moan from
wherever you are,
that's what we'd like to.
That's what we would like. So, friends, we started something that we're very excited about this 2018. We started this idea of how to jumpstart your new year, how to really activate your life. And we started thinking about this in terms of a wheel and how a wheel spinning. And we want to spin our lives. We don't want to feel like we're spinning in the same spot. We want to feel like we're moving forward. And we were talking that for a wheel to move forward, the energy has to actually go in. It almost feels like it goes backwards. It goes inside. So to really activate and get yourself spinning, get yourself going, get yourself moving, we want to go in so we can go out. So last week, we taught on the first wheel, the root chakra, and this week we are moving into our favorite wheel. It is like children, we can't really have a favorite, but if there was gonna be a favorite, this one is the one that just turns us on the most.
And that, my friends, is the second chakra. It is the home of turn on itself.
There's actually a gorgeous explanation of second chakra that I heard once, and it's one's own abode. And it's like feeling that juicy, sweet, gorgeous energy of feeling excited and activated and connected with your own self, with your own pleasure, your own desires, your own purpose on this planet, your own reason for being. And that you get to be in that energy, and then the world gets to reflect back opportunities of how it wants that in it. It wants you in it.
And the second chakra is the home of your creativity, your sexuality, your sensuality, your emotions, your feeling.
Literally all of our favorite things.
It's all of our favorite things.
If you threw in cute boys and martinis, it would be all of our favorite
things. I think those are both second chakra things, right? I mean, cute boys definitely gets my second chakra going,
right.
As does martinis.
Yeah.
Now, when we started talking about the areas in our lives, right, like the different axles of the wheel, we were talking about when we start to look at our dharma or our purpose on the planet, the home of this purpose on the planet can be found inside the second chakra. Now, what? Here's an interesting thing.
Tell me, Crystal.
Well, if our visions, right, the things that we have to give birth to on the planet, just like how children can't be born, like they are born in our womb, right? Womb. Children are implanted in this place in our bodies. And in the same way, our dreams, our ideas, our visions, they are grown in this chakra,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly right. There's this feeling of in the root chakra, this is all about our right to have, and it is our foundation, and it is our survival, and it is our connection with our family of origin and our ancestors. And it's like as we move up into the second chakra, it's like, what else do I want to be in relationship with? Yes, my nuclear family. Yes, the ideas that my parents gave me. Great. But what is me that I want to be in relationship with? And it's everything from choosing a partner to choosing a purpose to choosing what emotion you want to feel. And yes, friends, that is also a choice. It is not random, and we are not passive reactors to what goes on. We actually are powerfully choosing, and we get to, in the energy of this chakra, which is the element of water, it's like I always think of that exercise they did where they had water and one bowl of water they spoke really loving and juicy to it, and the other bowl of water they spoke critique and criticism and judgment to it, and they froze both the bowl's water, and the water that was spoken to beautifully was crystallized and stunning and had these crystal formations, and the water that was frozen with the negativity was actually murky and dull and ordinary, friends.
Mm.
And we were not put on this planet to be ordinary. We were not put on this planet to say, let me get in line and be like everyone else. Every one of us has a divine, unique purpose. And when we really tune into this energy of the second chakra, then we get to say, I have autonomy from my family of origin. This is the place where I get to say, this is mine, and this came to come through me, and it only came through me, and it actually was born inside of me because cosmic consciousness had a desire for it, which is why I was put here.
I like to think of the second chakra as the engine, right? It's like, this is what makes everything go. You can't get from your right to have your first chakra into your third chakra, your confidence and your ability to have it in the world, your power, without going through that second chakra. And this is why I'm such a proponent of people being in their sexual power, is because I think that what happens is if we get cut off in the chakra, if we get disconnected from who we are sexually, we actually can't get from our right to have to our confidence, to our power. This is the place where we literally turn on our dharma and you turn yourself on creatively. So I think what has happened, just because of the stories of religion of the past and of conditioning, that we become very afraid of this part of our body. We become very afraid of the things that turn us on. We feel shame to get curious about this part of our body and to wonder what makes my wheel spin here.
Well, what's interesting is when we talk about the second chakra, and it's all about communion with something.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make a baby, you commune. The egg and the sperm commune, and it creates something, another entity from that coming together. Many of us, when we're growing up, especially when it comes to sexuality and
mm-hmm.
sex, it was all about secrets. You know, if you were watching something on television and it started getting racy, your parents would turn it off. Don't watch that. I don't want you to know about that, right? Or using alternate words to describe what something is, or talking in circles around the birds and the bees.
Yeah.
And it's such this mixed message that in the second chakra, it is our right to want what we want. And many of us, when we're just first learning what we want, you know, learning how our body feels, even to ourselves, to our own touch, to our own hand, and we can be shamed
mm-hmm.
or told to move away from that energy, then what it creates is the shadow of this chakra, which is guilt. And it creates guilt in such a way where we feel, I shouldn't want what I want. And when we feel from 2 years old that I shouldn't really want what I want because it will bother my mom and dad, or it will make people uncomfortable, or it will rock the boat, so therefore I must move away from that, then we are going completely against the natural flow, which is, oh, I'm going against the grain. Oh, it rocks the boat. Oh, it makes people uncomfortable. Good. Keep going.
Yes, that's the area we want to move into. When we give ourselves permission that we can want what we want and we don't have to apologize to anyone for it. In fact, we all love a little bit of mischief in our life.
Mischief!
We love a little bit of trouble. You know how it always felt kind of good to be the bad kid in class? Or to be a little bit of a rebel.
Or you always know, any of you actors who are listening, or maybe writers who feel the same way, it's the most fun to play the character that you feel is so naughty and
mm-hmm.
so up to no good. And it's like, oh, I get to say those things and do those things. And I get to play that out in almost like a fantasy setting
mm-hmm.
because I wouldn't dare let myself be that in real life. We have these conditions and rules on ourselves. This is what a good girl and boy look like. This is what a good partner looks like. This is what a good parent looks like. This is what a good employee looks like. And we get so stuck in the energy of trying to please others that we lose the capacity for our own pleasure. And friends, this is why this chakra and talking about sexuality is so important in this chakra, because any of us know when you are in an intimate sexual moment with another person and you are very busy making it all about them, then you actually lose the complete intimacy of the moment that gets created in that equalization of two energies coming together and creating something that hasn't been before. And so what we want is, in the same way that great sex activates and enlivens both partners, that if you are in a situation, a job, whether it is with your art, with your children, with your spouse, with your boss, if you are in a relationship where only one is being served, then your second chakra is out of water.
Mm-hmm.
That well has gone dry, and you cannot possibly manifest if you do not fill that water source back up.
In fact, if you feel like life feels burnt out to you, if you feel like life feels like a desert, if things start to feel like they're in barren ground, you've probably been stuck in being good. And being good is keeping you from your greatness.
And being good has a weight. It has a heaviness to it. I know there's been times in my life, because I have been the president of the People Pleasers Anonymous Foundation in my life, and I've been this girl who's had such unrelenting standards for herself of perfectionism and really believed that my excellence and my motivation came from these unrelenting standards, which actually was just sabotage and punishment. That's a whole other podcast. But I know what it's like and how it's felt to try to do everything right, and then someone is still mad at you, or it's still not enough, or, you know, your boss doesn't validate how hard you worked, right? Because you're actually doing and generating so much of your energy and expecting someone else to react a certain way to it. And when they don't, that level of disappointment, that level of pain, that level of exhaustion is far too much for any of us to bear. And the point of freedom is when you can say, well, no matter how hard I try to please, it never works anyway. So let me now give myself permission to displease and watch how much energy fills your body.
Well, that's the thing. Play, pleasure, fun, it's what we're here for. It's the name of the game. And play, pleasure, and fun take us to our dharma. It literally puts us exactly where we're supposed to have been all along. When we're busy pleasing someone else, we actually put ourselves in a prison that keeps us from our dharma. And so what's an interesting thing about looking at the second chakra as we come here at the beginning of a new year is so many people, when they feel out of their right life, think, oh, I just got to work harder. I got to do more. I got to hustle more. And friends, what we would like to propose to you as part of our hypotheses is that it's actually that fun is the name of the game.
Mm.
Play is what you're being asked to do. That feeling good, activating yourself, is what's going to take you the furthest, the farthest, and the fastest.
Mm.
Abraham Hicks has this amazing quote. They say, reduce your workload by 30% and increase your fun load by 30%, and you will increase your revenues by 100%, and you will increase your productivity by 10,000%, if there could be such a percentage. More fun, less struggle, more results on all fronts. And it's like the gospel we've been waiting for someone to say. We get to have fun. We get to feel good. We get to express ourselves. We get to be messy. We don't have to get it right. We don't have to push ourselves. We can stop being slaves to our to-do list.
Mm.
Friends, life is for joy.
Life is for joy. We came in knowing this.
Mm-hmm.
When you spend any time with a child, or a toddler or a kid, all they want to do is play. And then the parents are, come do your homework, come do this, come do this. And the only reason children really get upset is when they're not allowed to express themselves the way they want to express themselves. So perhaps, friends, we are walking around our lives feeling upset all the time, and maybe we're only upset because we feel like we're not allowed to do what we really want to do, but the only person who has ownership on your life is you. You are the one that is playing the parent that is saying, well, you shouldn't do this, mm-hmm. or you shouldn't do this, or this isn't appropriate, or you have to be a good person, or I know you really want to respond like this, but it's a more spiritual way to respond like this. You are the person that are putting those chains on yourself and then feeling so miserable and imprisoned that they're there. And we are here to tell you that when you tell your truth, you set everyone else on fire. And that might be the best thing that ever happened to them.
Oh, that's the good news. It's like we had these sweet parents who raised us, or a community that raised us, school teachers that raised us. Everyone was doing their best, but they were handing down what was handed down to them, and that was how to fit into society. And we didn't come here to fit in. We came here... Can I say the F word?
Why not?
To fuck it up. You came here to mess it up. You came here to be the rebellion that causes the world to change forever, right? So we are inviting you to start to throw open the gates of your life and say, what do I really want? What do I really desire? What feels like fun? How can I activate fun in this moment? And as we start to activate fun, play, silliness in this moment, our lives start to transform.
And here are examples of what rebellion can look like.
Mm-hmm.
You can absolutely find an environmental cause you care about and tie yourself to a tree. You know, that is one form of rebellion. Another form of rebellion is when someone is zapping and taking your energy. You can take permission to say, I'm going to take a break and I'll let you know when I'm ready. That could be the biggest act of rebellion, to be willing to disappoint someone, to be willing to not be fully available for someone else because you're taking a stand to be available for yourself. It might be an act of rebellion to walk into a store and tell someone how beautiful they look in an outfit that they're trying on. That acts of rebellion can look all kinds of different ways. There may be an act of rebellion where if you're at home and you've got your kids running around the house and it's chaos and you have to take all this time to help them get ready, maybe an act of rebellion is giving a little white lie of saying, well, I actually have to be out of the house at 8:30. Maybe you only really have to leave at 8:45, but you could have 15 minutes in your car by yourself, and that's an act of rebellion. So friends, whatever it looks like and feels like for you, we're calling upon you to activate mischief, to activate trouble, to activate doing something different, because contrary action will always give you a different result. And so what we want to do is say, there is something that feels really good in being bad. And so whatever way you can dip your toe in that little pool of water, you will start activating an aliveness and a desire and an attractability in your life that will actually be so groundbreaking and life-changing for you that then it's all you're going to want to do.
Oh, it's getting into the feeling good zone, which gets us into our body. All day long, people get stuck in their heads, right? In this place of rumination, and it takes them out of the present moment. And the moment we drop into our feeling zone, our feeling good zone, we start to become present in our own body. The moment we start looking at life and asking ourselves, how do I create a game right now that makes me feel good? Because life is here for the expression of ourselves. And we have to get in a conversation with ourselves to figure out what our expression is.
Yes.
Right? So if we're playing by someone else's rules, we're playing someone else's game. We want to get into our game.
Mm.
we know that creativity, our dharma, is how our creativity serves the planet, right? So our creativity is something that is uniquely ours, and it is our expression. It can only come through us. So like your fingerprint, nobody else has your fingerprint. No one else has the way that you express yourself. No one has the way that you dance. No one has the way that you wear an outfit. No one else has the way you walk across the floor or tell a joke. That is all you. We get to fall in love with our very own expression. Mm-hmm. Have you ever given yourself time in your life to fall in love with your own expression? To fall in love with how your voice sounds? To fall in love with how your mind works? To fall in love with how your body looks? So our dharma, our unique expression, takes a certain amount of courtship.
There's a romance, friends.
Mm-hmm.
There is a romance. And the one romance that we are all lacking is self-love. And we may be able to say, well, I love myself every day. But if your actions are not congruent with what you are saying, then your own sweet self does not believe you, and it is not going to call you for a second, third, fourth, fifth. It wants action behind those words. It wants the moment when you actually say, I love you enough that I'm going to look out for you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to keep you safe. I'm not going to put you in positions with people that don't feel good to you. I am here to show you that I am the knight in shining armor that you have been waiting for. I am you, and I love you.
So there are many different ways to start to activate this feeling good, this sense of play in your life. And one of the things that Natalie and I talk about all the time is just writing a list of things that you love. Mm. Just so that you can get into conversation with that part of you that loves things, that has desires. It's so often that we think our desires are out of reach that we don't even get curious about them.
Oh, we love to ruminate and spend so much time thinking about how bad things are and what we don't have. And at the exact same moment that you don't have money in your bank, there might be a beautiful sunset happening right outside your window. And it's a choice. It is a choice. Where am I focusing? What am I seeing? Now, friends, are we saying this is an easy choice? We're saying it can be an easy choice. But our conditioning and our habits are not in alignment with it being easy just yet. So at first, it might feel like it takes a little muscle, but over time, it'll become the new set point, and it'll feel so easy, and you could do it all day. I actually want to put Kristen on the spot a little bit.
Woo!
Because something that Kristen is a master at is catching in the moment and shifting the vibration. I would like to say that I am a master at catching it in the moment and going all the way into the feeling. So, oh, I catch myself feeling sad and upset. Let me go all the way into it. So there's nothing left. There's no, it doesn't come out passive aggressively later down the road. And you know, like, let me go all the way in and feel all the pain and feel all the suffering and let me hold it and open myself and evolve and stretch. So it's so fascinating to me and a tool that I want to work on and learn so much, the way Kristen can feel the stimulus and then choose something different. So there are many, many paths to the same mountain here, but if what we want to activate is joy and love and fun and juice and pleasure and play, then we just want to give you an opportunity to have an example that, yes, it is actually possible.
Well, one of the things that's interesting to me is, how is the divine trying to communicate something to me? We know the universe is always talking to us. As Rob Bell says, and I love to quote this quote, it's the bush is always burning, right? So spirit is always talking. All of life is a conversation. August Gold says that. And so I want to always be on the lookout. What's life saying to me now? What's it communicating to me now? And I went to a flywheel class this morning, and I came out of flywheel, and I had that adrenaline high, and it was snowing, and I felt like I was in my own beautiful Manhattan postcard. And because it was snowing, I went into Starbucks to get a coffee. And as I was there, I was just noticing the most beautiful man waiting for his coffee. And I almost had that moment where I went up to him and said, I just want you to know that you're beautiful and God did a great job making you. And I found that moment where I didn't say it out loud. Now, it's so interesting. If I see a beautiful woman, I almost will always tell her. If I see a woman wearing a great outfit, I will always let her know she's doing a great job on the planet. And I was like, oh, it's so interesting how I can get just a little bit shy when it's like, hey now. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so today I'm just going to dare myself that if I see a beautiful man, I'm just going to tell him, well done. Mm-hmm. Well done showing up on the planet with all of that. So I go home, I get ready, I have an early morning meeting, and I see something on social media that triggers my jealousy. Now, I'm not someone who gets jealous hard. I can remember in the last 5 years being jealous twice. And what we know about jealousy is that jealousy is showing you that something is for you, and somehow you have created a limit that that's possible for you, right? So I saw this, and it almost felt like a bitch slap, and I went, oh, hey, spirit, I'm feeling the feelings. I'm feeling all the feelings, and I'm recognizing, oh, for the first place I wanted to go is, what am I doing wrong? Because I feel like I show up so deeply for meditation, for my practice. There must be something I'm doing wrong. And I just watched how my ego wanted to attack me, right? To make me wrong somehow. And then I walked outside and I was like, oh, it's so funny. Coming back from spinning and my coffee this morning, I was actually walking through the day feeling so in love with life. And that one thing made me now not feel in love with life. It made me feel like I was somehow, there was something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, mm-mm, that ain't how we treat Kristen. That's no way for a Kristen to feel. Let's wrap our arms around her. I know I have a universe that loves me so deeply and only wants me to know how loved I am. Only wants me to know how precious I am, how adored I am, and it wants me to feel great. Okay, so everything in life is for me. How is this for me? And I was like, well, obviously, this person is my guru because they're showing me what's possible. So somehow in my belief system, it's showing me a corner where I have taken something off of as possible. I have limited what's possible for me. And because I didn't hold it as a possibility for me immediately, I've taken it off my menu. Right? And this person is showing me, hey, it's all possible. Kristen, open further. You think that you're open? You think that you're saying, yes, divine, give it all to me? But I'm showing you where you have created limitations, these glass ceilings, and then you wonder what's going on. The only thing that's ever going on is your belief system. And the universe is actually saying in this moment, I want to give it all to you. I want to give it all to you. So, cut to later in my day. I ended up going to work on Clueless, which I'm working on as a musical right now, and ended up having like the best conversation with Amy Heckerlein, who every time I have a director question problem and I bring it to Amy, she's like been through it all. Mm-hmm. And she told me like a couple different stories. And she ended up telling me this one great story about Steven Spielberg giving her advice and saying that whenever you do great things, you may feel repercussions from the world, and that's because you're playing at a great level. And I was like, oh, that's so good. I can't wait to tell Natalie this. You know, Natalie and I call that A-list training.
Yes.
Right? When it feels like you're getting, what's the word, Natalie? It's like shade. You're getting shade from someone, right? That's just like you're playing at a new level of greatness. Mm. And
you know you're doing something right.
Right.
People are triggered by it.
That's exactly. Amy was telling me that Stephen had told her that anytime he does something that like cuts through the zeitgeist that really is great, that there's so many lawsuits and backlash and all these things. So I we'll often talk to Natalie and we'll say, oh, when any kind of disagreement comes up in the outer world, it's just getting us ready to be fully A-list.
Mm.
So I had this great conversation with Amy, and it made me feel really inspired. And then I went to go pick up lunch for Natalie and I, because we had this little podcast session coming up. And as I go in to pick up our lunch, I'm waiting for our food. And there is a gentleman there, and he's like, hi, can I help you? And I was like, oh, I've already ordered. I'm just standing right here because you're so handsome. And he, like, smiled and, like, he walked away, and then he came back, and he was like, I'm sorry, I'm just registering now what you said, and can I tell you that you're so beautiful, and you have the most incredible energy, and can I get your number? And I was like, I have spent my whole life not telling men exactly how handsome they are, and is that what was waiting for me the entire time? Mm. If I walked around the world just actually speaking my truth. Now, here's where this correlates to career and art. Where am I not asking the big ask of my career or of the art? Where have I been not saying hi to the hottest guy in the room or the hottest project that I want? Where have I put something off limits because of fear of rejection, and the universe is saying, I'm trying to give it all to you, sweet baby. So the new game that the universe is asking me to play is, what feels good? What activates you? All you gotta do is say it out loud and just see what happens.
And it's so fascinating. Thank you for telling that story. And what I love and felt excited by when you were telling me this morning is it's so layered, and all of it has to do with this chakra energy. The first thing that wanted to happen was you guilted yourself.
Yes.
The very first thing is, I'm wrong. I did something wrong. I'm not doing enough. And so there's a decision. There's a point of decision of, I am not guilty. Like, standing before the court, I am not guilty.
It's not that I have to do more work, you know? It's not about more hustle.
And I refuse to be put on trial for things that I don't deserve to be tried for. I'm doing my best. I'm a human being. I'm going to do great sometimes and not so great other times, and I don't deserve any kind of shade or shame from myself for doing so. So the moment of power was the decision when the guilt and the inner critic came in to say, I can go down that road, or I can go down a different road. Have you chosen to go down the road of, I'm not doing enough, I'm not good enough, why is it happening for everyone else and not me? Then there is no way that from that point of powerlessness, you could have had the power to take the action later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. So you would continue to collect evidence on the case against you. Because you had that moment of saying, it's just my ego. There's a choice here. I can choose to see it differently. I can choose to see this as for me. Even if it feels like I'm just faking it till I make it, I can choose to fake it. I can choose to try. I can choose to be in a different conversation. And then because of that choosing, then you put action in congruence with that choice. And it, of course, yields a different manifestation because it must, because it has to. Because energy flows where energy goes. And so when we talk about activating fun and play and joy, the activation wasn't from the validation.
No.
It was from the brave action.
It was because it would be fun.
That's right.
I'm like, oh, it would be fun just to tell people how beautiful they are.
And
that sounds like fun.
How much power is in being able to change someone's day like that?
Yes.
That if you are feeling powerless, you can go and give any stranger a compliment or buy a lotto ticket and put it under someone's windshield wiper on their car.
Yes.
You have the power to radically change someone's day.
Yes.
You are never powerless. And it's all about continuing to say, Where can I connect?
Mm-hmm.
Where can I become more intimate? And where can I make it a fun game?
So it's even interesting to look at your career, your art, and your dharma and say, how can I make this the most fun for me? How can I make this feel the best? And watch what answers become unlocked from that place. Often, I think something that we do is we think, this is for later. This is all I'm worthy of now, right? A student in my writing class was telling me, we were talking about a scene she wrote, and we unlocked it, and she's like, well, that's what I originally wanted to write. I wanted to write that thing, but I tried to write it more simply because I felt like I wouldn't be able to afford to shoot it that way. So the way that I was like, it feels like it wants to be written this way. She's like, oh, that's what I wanted to do, but I tried to write the cheaper version, right? So it's almost like we decide we're unworthy before the universe has answered that. So I was talking to my writing class last night, and I was like, write what is in your heart to write and let the universe provide for it, right? So go to the vision. Our job is to be obedient to the vision.
Yes.
And not to our limitation.
Yes. To be in relationship with the vision like a lover.
Yes.
That we love and want to go on dates with and have fun and delight. We don't want to take our date to the cheap place.
No.
They don't want to go out with us again.
No.
If we're, you know, calling it in and not being present and being on our phone and squeezing it in. We want to nurture it and love it and excite it and give it pleasure and say to it, you are so valuable to me. And let me show you with my actions, my words, my feelings, my thoughts, just how valuable you are.
We got to stop working out of our limitations and be inspired by our vision and let that vision, the possibility of the vision, the activation of the vision to take us to brand new places this year.
I love Abraham Hicks says, the main event has never been the manifestation. The main event has always been the way you feel moment by moment, because that's actually what life is.
Yeah.
That we all think once I get somewhere, then I'll be happy. Another thing Abraham Hicks says is, you know, we just always think once we get somewhere, we'll be happier, no matter what it is. And they said, well, then why don't you just take the shortcut and just be happy now? Don't create a whole bunch of things that will make you happy so that you can get to happy one day. Why don't you just decide to be happy now and then see what comes in?
You know that meditation that we do sometimes about living the best day of your life?
Yeah.
And you write out what an ultimate day of your life looks like. You know what's a fun exercise? Is to wake up and live in that energy all day long. To take the cellular feeling, the feeling tone of that person living their best life and live it today. And then how does that change every interaction you have?
Everything is energy, and there's no more powerful force in the world than the energy of making a human being. And that is the energy that we get to play with. We are alchemists. We are magicians. We are magic makers. We have life force energy inside our second chakra waiting to give birth. And whether we give birth to a child, a project, an idea, it doesn't matter. That energy is the same. And if that energy is powerful enough to bear a human being with thoughts and ideas and personality out of our bodies, then we can also give birth to anything else that we want. But in the same way that the process of making a baby is really fun, then we need to make sure that whatever we want to manifest, it is made from love, and it is made from joy, and it is made from fun, and it is made for our desire to be with it.
Oh, it's so good.
That's why it's our favorite, friends.
And that's why it's our favorite.
That's why it's our favorite.
Have the best time this week activating fun, activating pleasure, making a little mischief, being a little naughty. You know how to do it.
And whatever you feel the most scared to do, that's probably where you should start. And if you feel guilty, you're doing it right. Speaking of pleasure, we have, friends, two spots left in our Pleasure in Paris weekend retreat. So if you really want to supercharge this activation and you want to do it with some rad, deep, awesome, cool people, then grab a ticket to Paris, because it really is going to be life-changing to activate this in a city that was born to stand for pleasure.
Natalie and I are teaching all of the classes topless. Not really. I just thought it'd be fun to say that. See what I did there?
I love what you did there.
Thank you.
Don't threaten me with a
gun. See, that's the thing about Natalie. If I give her a dare, she just might do it.
I never say no the first time. Okay. Also, if you want to check out our chakra course, where we really go, we give you 7 hours of content on each of the chakras, the creative process, how to take your little baby dream and birth it into its full life, how to do it by transcending some of the fear and the doubt and the shame and the guilt and all those messy things that are natural to the process. If you're interested in that course, you get to see us live with you on your computer screen, looking at your eyeballs, and we will take you through 7 hours of content, and that's available on our website as well. We are going to be in Los Angeles teaching in the month of February, and we're going all over the world this year, friends, so we're going to keep you posted on all of these upcoming events, and we're so, so excited to share this and our vision and our pleasure and our rebellion with you. Nothing brings us more joy.
It's a movement, friends, and it starts with fun.
If you can come visit our Facebook page, the Create Community Facebook page, come and be friends with us. We would love to welcome you to our community. Otherwise, we'll see you at thecreateseries.com. Thank you, friends.
Bye-bye. If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!